What is up, bros? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we're a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, we're just going to be doing another couple rounds of Guess the Stars, right?
Connect the Stars,
damn it. My bad.
Yeah. I haven't forgotten the mission of trying to figure out how to play like other different like movie games.
Yeah.
I'm still figuring that shit out.
Okay, cool. So we'll be playing a couple rounds of that, but then after that we'll be getting into our headliner of the evening. I almost said main event again, god damn it.
My guy.
I'm sorry. We'll be getting into our headliner of the evening, where we'll be breaking down The Long Walk, which I have praised this movie quite a bit to Caleb, and I cannot freaking wait to break this movie down.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Oh, so excited. But without further ado, what do you say we get into this episode?
I say, let's do it.
All right.
Need motivation? Angry Dad Podcast. Trying to jumpstart your life? Angry Dad Podcast. You want help getting off the couch? Angry Dad Podcast. You need a verbal kick in the ass? Angry Dad Podcast. You want to hear from somebody who's been through it all? Angry Dad Podcast. I am here for you. You can find me on all podcast platforms.
Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Max Performance Peptides.
Save 10% on your first order using the code ALLBROS.
It helps support the show and helps support our friends, so go give their site a look at maxperformancepeptides.com.
Or check them out at maxperformance4u on Instagram. Links to everything can be found in our bio.
All right, so jumping right in. Like I said, we're going to play a couple of rounds of, what is it?
Are you kidding me? It hasn't even been like 5 minutes.
Is it Guess the Stars or Connect the Stars?
Connect the
Stars. God damn it. I don't know why I keep thinking it's the other one, but anyway, let's play a couple rounds and see how me and Caleb do.
All right, let's do it. All right, for those of you that don't know, this is a super fun game brought to you by Eric Bai and Amanda Hum. It is connectthestars.xyz, and the rule that we have for ourselves on this, much to a lot of people's chagrin, we are only able to veto we can veto any actor or actress that we don't know or are completely unfamiliar with their filmography. So that's one rule that we set. And then the other rule is everything has to be done from memory. So even though we might know the movie, if we forget the title or if we don't know the actor's name that we're thinking of, like that's a no-go. Yeah. Which is hard for some people, like for some actors, because there's one that I always like. It's the guy who played Baron Mordo in Doctor Strange.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like I know his name ish. Like I'd know it if I heard it, and I would know it if I saw it, but I would not know it off of the I don't know how to spell off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And he's always like a really good one to like have different connections to. Anyway, so those are the two rules. So everything has to be done from memory, and we can only veto ones that we both agree we don't know well enough to do.
Yes.
So with that, let's find out who our two random stars are. First one, Ben Affleck.
Okay.
This should be easy enough.
Yeah.
And it's Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, that should be pretty easy.
They've worked together, haven't they?
I'm sure they have in some capacity. If not, I'm sure that there's an actress or an actress that actor or an actress that we can connect them with.
Yeah. I know one just right off the freaking top.
All right. Sorry.
She was the wife. Or no. She was one of the love interests of Matt Damon in We Bought a Zoo.
Oh.
and then take your freaking pick on what you want to connect Matt Damon and Ben Affleck to.
I'd say Air.
Air?
Yeah.
Air.
There we go.
All right, so we got Ben Affleck, who is in Air, with Matt Damon, who is in We Bought a Zoo with Scarlett Johansson.
Nice one, man. That was good.
Okay, I just need to look it up. This doesn't count anyway for anyone that calls this cheating. It's not. Ben Affleck, Scarlett Johansson movie. Oh, they were in a movie together. He's Just Not That Into You.
Oh, that's shit. And I've seen that.
Have you?
How the fuck did I forget that they were in that together?
There's a lot of people in that. Like, freaking hell. I mean, there's Drew Barrymore, Bradley Cooper. That looks like Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Connelly, Justin Long. Damn, there's like a lot.
Yeah.
And you have seen that one before?
I have.
Slacker.
Sorry.
All right, round two. That was a pretty quick one.
Yeah, man. That was good. Good job.
All right. Round two. We got Maya Rudolph.
Okay.
And Sandra Bullock.
Ooh. I think we can do that.
Yeah. Has Sandra Bullock done anything with Will Ferrell that you are familiar with?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Maya Rudolph. I can connect to Will Ferrell through Lego Movie.
I'm trying to, because she was in the Grown Ups movies. So I'm trying to think of any of those guys that have done anything with Sandra Bullock.
I want to say, wasn't one of them in Miss Congeniality? Or am I thinking of someone else? I might be thinking of someone else.
I don't.
Yeah, I'm probably thinking of someone else. All right, so who
has Maya Rudolph worked with Melissa McCarthy at all?
Yeah, quite a bit, actually. She always plays like a supporting, like they always play supporting roles of each other. Wait, has Sandra Bullock done anything with like Terry Crews? So I don't think the issue is going to be Maya Rudolph in this one. I think the issue
is
Sandra Bullock.
Cause like, I wish I could think of something with Melissa McCarthy. Cause, with, her and, Sandra Bullock in The Heat.
Yeah.
Oh
gosh. Like I'm trying to go through Melissa McCarthy movies. Was she in Identity Thief?
Melissa McCarthy?
No, I know Melissa McCarthy was.
I don't think so.
All right, let's just start throwing random ones out there. Because, like, so I know we can connect Maya Rudolph to Terry Crews, Martin Short, through the Willoughbys.
Oh, okay.
She was also in the Lego movies, which had... Oh, hold up. I think I got it. The Lego movie 2. Oh, come on. She was in that.
Do you remember what character?
Yeah, she was the mom.
I bet just because that's such a small role, they don't classify that.
Oh, that is such bullshit. Shit. That ruined my plan, because I was going to say, because if it did count Lego Movie, then Channing Tatum voiced Superman. And Channing Tatum Bullock were in The Lost City.
Yeah, that's true. Damn it.
Let's see. So Miss Congeniality, who is in that one?
Wait.
What movie were you thinking of?
The Heat?
Or no, with Maya Rudolph.
Oh, Grown Ups.
Grown Ups.
Okay. I swear her name was... In Miss Congeniality, was it Tina Turner, or is that a singer?
Tina Turner's a singer.
Fuck.
Okay, there we go. God damn it. I wish they would do a different poster, because what's his name? Owen Wilson's brother? Something Wilson?
I can't remember.
It's not Owen. It's I feel like it starts with an N. Oh my gosh, I'm completely spacing.
Shit.
Trying to think of other shit, because I know she was in that Ocean's 8, which that gives us Anne Hathaway. Then there's The Heat. What else has Sandra Bullock been in? Blindside, but that would be a freaking deep cut. If we found a way to connect freaking Maya Rudolph to Tim McGraw, but not Sandra Bullock, that'd be nuts.
That would be.
Trying to think. Practical Magic would give us... why am I forgetting her name? Who Aquaman's mom?
Dude,
I've literally talked about her multiple times today. Why am I forgetting her name?
Is it Nicole Kidman?
Nicole Kidman. Oh my god, dude. Practical Magic. What else? Let's think of other like Maya Rudolph.
Why can I only think of Grown Ups?
I know she was in the Willoughbys, which gives us Will Forte.
Okay.
And I know Will Forte has been in... Oh, man. I've been watching so much of, like, Will Forte, like, where he's in the shows.
Yeah.
I'm, like, spacing on movies.
Was Maya Rudolph in Mitchells versus the Machines? Didn't she play the mom? Mother. Okay, that's what I thought. But I can't think of anybody else in that movie that we can... tie to Sandra Bullock.
Danny McBride was in that.
Okay.
Which again, I mean, with This Is the End, or is it This Is the End? No, that's the Simon Pegg one, isn't it?
No, you got it right. This Is the End.
Okay. Yeah, so if This Is in the End, that gives us another freaking connection to. Oh, we could do that. Okay, so Danny McBride was in This Is the End, that had Channing Tatum in it, and Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock were in The Lost City.
Okay, there we go. Very nice.
All right, that one took a while. Freaking hell. All right, so Maya Rudolph was in the Mitchells versus the Machines with Danny McBride, who was in This Is the End with Channing Tatum, who was in The Lost City with Sandra Bullock.
Bam, there we go.
There has to be a freaking shorter route than that. So Maya Rudolph movies. Okay, she was in If. Ah, she was in Hubie Halloween. I hadn't seen that. And that. Oh my gosh, dude, This is gonna piss me off. She was in The Happy Time Murders, Life of the Party, both with freaking Melissa McCarthy.
Motherfucker.
I know. Freaking Turbo would have given us Ryan Reynolds. Idiocracy. Shit. That's who Idiocracy. What's his name? What's his name? Luke Wilson.
Okay.
That's who I was thinking of, but I don't think she was in.
Luke Wilson, isn't he the guy in Twisters? Or am I thinking of someone else?
In the new Twisters?
Yeah. I think
no, the new that's Glenn.
Oh yeah, Glenn Powell.
Glenn Powell. I almost said Glenn Close. I was like, nope, that's not right,
dude. Freaking yeah, I forgot about Luke Wilson because he was in Charlie's Angels. I remember that.
Oh my god, freaking Bridesmaids.
So I thought that Maya Rudolph was in Bridesmaids with Melissa McCarthy, but I couldn't remember.
God, dude, we suck.
Yeah, we do. Son of a bitch. Oh, well. We tried.
Yeah. Honestly, any movie with freaking SNL actors is a pretty good bet with Maya Rudolph. Because, like, just ones off the top of my head. There's freaking Disenchanted. She's in Luca. Hubie Halloween. Happy Time Murders, Life of the Party, Emoji Movie, Chips, Pop Star, the Angry Birds movie. That we could have done the freaking Angry Birds movie too. She was in Sisters, Big Hero 6, Bridesmaids, Shrek the Third, Idiocracy, 50 First Dates, Anchorman.
Damn.
Yeah, we could have.
Yeah, well, she got quite a track record.
I know, I'm disappointed in ourselves. Like, we could have done any of those to freaking connect.
Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Oh, I wanted to look up real quick if Luke Wilson was in Miss Congeniality. God damn it, I was right. He was in Miss Congeniality. I hate everything. God damn it. I should have gone with my gut. Should have gone with my freaking gut. Well, I did. I couldn't remember his freaking name.
Yeah.
I knew it was a freaking basic name, too.
Oh, man.
All right. Round three.
Let's do it.
All right. We got Robert Downey Jr. Okay.
That should this be pretty should be, easy.
This should be cake.
Yeah. It freaking
and
better
Jennifer
be.
Connell, or Endgame. Or Infinity, whenever he switched to using Friday, because Friday's Jennifer Connelly's voice. When did he start using? Was that in Age of Ultron?
No, I think that was Civil War.
Civil War. Bullshit! You're not going. I'm going to lose my mind. Wait.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, she wasn't. Wait, was she Friday?
I thought she was.
She was Karen.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who voiced Friday. Okay. I almost got mad. Spider-Man Homecoming. Yes, that's exactly what I meant.
Okay.
Nailed it.
Go.
We got in one.
Yeah. Civil War doesn't count.
Nope. First try. That one was quick enough. I think we could do a round four.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. First up, we got Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay.
And Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, this, that one should be, that should be pretty easy.
Yeah. Okay. So Leonardo DiCaprio. This one might be a little tough because I mean they've both been I could do this.
What you got?
I got this. Okay. So Leonardo DiCaprio was in Unchained with Samuel L. Jackson, who was in The Other Guys with Mark Wahlberg.
Shit, man. Nice. Very nice.
Hell yeah. That was a pretty quick one, too. I think one more.
Yeah, sure.
Do it like a nice. I mean, it's not really an even, but whatever. Five. Five is a sturdy number.
Yes.
All right. For round five, we got Gary Oldman.
Okay.
And Saoirse Ronan.
I could only name the Little Women that she's in.
That would actually be enough.
Yeah, okay.
Because the Saoirse Ronan was in The Little Women with Emma Watson. And Emma Watson was in Harry Potter. And the goblet, let's go goblet of fire.
Shit, man, dude, you're freaking nailed on it. Fire. I love it.
Dude, I'm freaking riding this high. One more. All right. Last one. Round all six. Right. Amy Adams and Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
What has she been in? Because I don't know.
She was Huntress in Birds of Prey. She is in Scott Pilgrim. She is Ramona Flowers.
Oh, okay.
She is in other things. And then I think we could do this.
Yeah, okay. I trust you.
There's an obvious Margot Robbie connection, which Margot Robbie connects us to the rest of the DCU, or could.
Yeah.
So Amy Adams was in Man of Steel. Was she in anything with Viola Davis? Or was she in any of the movies that Viola Davis was in?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Because it'd be easier if we could connect her to Viola Davis. But Amy Adams, what else has she been in? She's in Disenchanted.
She was in The Muppets.
The Muppets.
So that gives us Jason Segel.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can. There's much to go on with that.
But then you gotta remember too. Was she in anything with Chris Evans?
I can't think of anything.
Because we got, like I said, we got everyone from Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
So I mean, we got Michael Cera, which I feel Michael Cera's done something with Amy Adams before. Funny enough, it's not freaking Mary Elizabeth Winstead that's the problem here.
That's true.
It's freaking Amy Adams. She was just so like isolated into the freaking DCU. I mean, so Amy Adams was in Batman v Superman. Come on!
Do you really have to say Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice?
I hate everything.
Oh, shit.
Which had... Let's just see for shits and giggles if Viola Davis was in that one. Nope.
Damn.
Okay, so that would give us Ben Affleck, who was in Suicide Squad. Freaking Spell. That connects us to Margot Robbie, who was in... Thank the Lord I did not have to spell that out.
Oh, man.
All right, so Amy Adams was in Batman v Superman with Ben Affleck, who had a small cameo in Suicide Squad, with Margot Robbie, who was in Birds of Prey and The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, with Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Bam. There we go.
Nailed it.
We got it.
Other than that second round, we freaking kicked ass.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, man.
All right. Enough excitement about that. What do you say we are jumping into our headliner then?
Let's do it.
All right. All right, so like we said, this week's headliner will be our breakdown of The Long Walk. I'm just going to say it right now. I fucking love this movie. So Caleb, do you want to let people know how we break down movies on this podcast?
I would love to. If you're new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, and then we give it our own personal score at the very end. All of those numbers get magically added up and spit through our algorithm and give us a letter grade to compare this movie to others of a similar grade. So if you have not seen The Long Walk, I think it's still only available in theaters right now.
Yeah, it the day after this is posted, I believe it comes out on digital. So
of freaking course it does.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, so we are about to spoil the entire movie for you in our favorite segment that we like to call Reading with Rose.
All right. In an alternate 20th century, the United States is a totalitarian military regime following a devastating war. The regime has established an annual event, the Long Walk, which aims to inspire patriotism and work ethic among the destitute as the country is in the grips of a severe economic depression. 50 teenage boys, one from each state, are chosen randomly, given water and rations, and must walk hundreds of miles nonstop while escorted by armed soldiers who also broadcast the event. Those who fall below 3 miles per hour or stop walking receive up to 3 warnings before being executed. The walk ends when there is only one survivor remaining who receives a large cash prize and can have one wish fulfilled. Although the sign-up is technically voluntary, nearly all eligible young men do so every year in the hope of improving their families' lives. Raymond Ray Garrity, the year's participant from Maine, is driven to the starting line near the Maine-Canada border by his mother, Ginny, who begs him to back out. Ray refuses and meets the other participants, including Peter, Pete McReeves, Billy Stebbins. I think I got that name right. I got that name wrong on the cast list. My bad. Sorry. Billy Stebbins, Arthur Art Baker, Collie Parker, Gary Barkovich, Hank Olson, and Richard Harkness. The major, a mysterious official who oversees the regime's death squads starts the walk and greets the boys from time to time as they proceed southward. During the first day, Ray gets to know the other walkers and forms a close bond with Pete. A boy named Thomas Curley is the first to be killed after he develops a Charlie horse in his leg. Barkovich is shunned by the group for provoking another walker named Rank into attacking him, resulting in Rank's execution. As the walk continues, Pete says he wants to use his wish to improve the world. Ray wants to wish for a rifle to kill the Major as revenge for his father's execution over political opposition. Pete tries to talk Ray out of it, admits that he cannot let someone die to win, and intends to sit down once he has had enough. More walkers die as the days pass, including Harkness. Hank becomes delirious and tries to attack the soldiers, but they shoot him and let him bleed to death. After learning he was married, the boys vow to send money to his widow. Guilt over Rank's death and his exclusion from the pact leads Barkovich to beg to join. Soon after Ray agrees, Barkovich has a mental breakdown and fatally stabs himself in the throat with a spoon. Only Ray, Pete, Stebbins, Art, and Collie remain. While walking through his hometown of Freeport, Ray spots Jenny and runs to her, apologizing for competing. He is almost killed for stepping off the road, but is saved by Pete. Collie, driven to insanity, steals a rifle and shoots a soldier, then kills himself after being wounded by the others. Art develops an internal hemorrhage and thanks Pete and Ray for being his friends before stopping. Stebbins, who has fallen ill, reveals to Ray and Pete that he is one of the Major's many illegitimate sons, and he intended to use his wish to be accepted as his son. He tells the pair it was an honor to walk with them before stopping, leaving Ray and Pete as the final two walkers. After 5 days and well over 300 miles of walking, the pair arrives at a large city where a big crowd has gathered to see who will win. Pete sits down, only for Ray to pick him up and encourage him to keep going. He does so, only for Ray to stop walking instead. The Major personally executes Ray and congratulates Pete as the winner. When asked to state his wish, Pete carries out Ray's plan by asking for a rifle and killing the Major with it. He then turns to the now empty street and continues walking.
Man, that's simplified the ever-living bejesus out of this movie.
It did. No, like, seriously.
I'm like, you missed some, like, super critical moments in that, but I understand why, because it's like, in its essence, this is a very simple movie.
Yeah, it literally, just read the poster. It says it, walk or die. That's really the whole gist.
Yeah, like, this had a very Squid Games vibe to it.
That's fair. One of my favorite comparisons was someone straight up said, man, this is a ripoff of The Hunger Games. I'm like, motherfucker, you do realize this is a Stephen King book. This was his first book, too. So The Hunger Games freaking ripped this off if you're going to freaking go down that road.
I think Hunger Games is different enough. This is just straight up like, yeah, this is just straight. Oh, sorry. This is straight up like Squid Game shit. Like, I wouldn't quite put Squid Game and Hunger Games in the same category.
Yeah,
because it is a little, I mean, its essence is still the same. Like, yeah, like, there's this many people that go in, one person comes out, but I mean, in that way, it's kind of the same deal, but it's, I don't know, I feel like it's different.
Yeah,
this, it's like a competition amongst, it's like, I'd say that Hunger Games and Squid Games are more similar than Hunger Games and The Long Walk.
I agree. So yeah, like, it was weird for someone to make that comparison, and then the fact that they're saying that this story ripped off The Long Walk, or sorry, this story ripped off The Hunger Games, when this book came out in, I think, like, the 1950s or something like that.
Jeez.
Or sorry, no, it came out in 1979, but still, a very long time before Suzanne Collins wrote The Hunger Games.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll be real, like, once I knew or kind of got a vibe for what this movie was going to be, like, I will say I was a bit worried that it was going to be slow.
Yeah, okay.
And I think in parts it was, but I think it was necessary. Like, the pacing was, it was a little bit back and forth, but I think overall they managed to keep up a really good tempo and only slowed it down when they really needed to.
Yeah, I feel like they needed to slow it down for certain character moments, because, you know, they definitely wanted the audience to be able to connect with these characters. And when certain character. I mean, it was sad when all of the boys got their ticket. Like, come on, that was really, really sad to watch. And I remember seeing an interview, like Stephen King, he only had one ask with this movie. And it was that every single time that one of the boys got shot, that it was shown on camera, that they didn't just cut away from it. Like, he wanted to see, like, yeah, like sometimes
they,
you can,
I don't know, they cut away from a couple kids.
They did. And I'm wondering if like maybe he just meant that for like the most important the characters. One. Yeah. Cause like, even like with like Art, you only see him get shot in the background and I mean, you still see it. But I guess that was like his one thing that he made clear. And that's probably why it definitely got the R rating that it did. Cause that shit can be brutal, especially when freaking Curly, the 16-year-old that lies and says that he's 18, freaking when his jaw, the way that it freaking moves after he gets shot, that shit is hard to watch. And then freaking that's how they do the title, the title card, like after he gets shot and killed, then it says The Long Walk, and you're just like, man, okay, so this is what we're in for.
Dude, like it took a second for me to even like, oh yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
No, like straight up, like you're just like, shit, man, okay.
Yeah, they chose a hell of a time to throw that in, but I mean, effective.
If
there's anything that this movie does well, it's the tension building. Like with the seriously. One, the first kid that was trying to tie his shoes.
Oh yeah,
like Barkovich. That got me worked up so much, and I was like, oh my gosh.
No, like, dude, see, freaking like right all of them the are dude, freaking, and I love like the whole time, like Hank is just shouting, that dumb fuck's about to get his fucking ticket. Are you like, they're just like, they just keep telling him, get the fuck up, man. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, they're freaking crazy.
Yeah, like it's just so crazy that you only get three warnings. And like, yeah, even if your shoe gets untied, like you better hope that you can get that shit done. You better hope that you can get that retied in 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, dude, what's crazy about this whole thing is it's voluntary. Like that, I think that's the difference between like, that's why I say this is maybe more similar to like how I feel about Squid Games, is because Squid Games is voluntary.
Yeah.
But well, I mean, it's more similar to Hunger Games in the way that like it does put people against each other.
Well, I think because they do explain that if like nobody volunteers for it, then they start picking people. But as Garrity says, like, when has there ever been a year that 50 boys didn't just volunteer? Because for how shitty the economy is in the world that this is set in, like they really can't afford not to jump at this opportunity, even if there is a slight chance that they can win.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, right? an interesting thought experiment for sure. Like that's the thing that almost made me like, I could have sat and like I could have talked about that for hours. I was trying to use a big word that doesn't. Was it big words hurt Elmo? I could have sat and like, that was a really good like little thought experiment. Like, how voluntary is it really? But here's the thing too. Like, this is voluntary in a way that like they do kind of give you an out until the day of. Like he said at the beginning, like he says, like, or his mom was like, you don't have to do it, you know, you don't have to. And he's like, yeah, the cutoff or the day to say no was yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. And I didn't realize it was going to start like that day. So I was like, okay, cool. So this is like straight into it. So you had up until that day, and there were people that didn't show up because he jumped from like one to like five.
I didn't catch that.
Like, you did? Oh. Like, I don't know if they were trying to like jump around or whatever.
Or they might have, because I swear, like, there were supposed to, like, as far as I know, there were 50 kids there or 50 boys. So like maybe just because like, you know, reading off 50 names is that's a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's because the way that they shot it then is if that's the case, like it's odd because they did have like they called their number one. Number one went, got his tag and watch or whatever, and then left. And then I think they called like three after that.
Yeah.
It was like three or four. Like they called, they skipped two and then they called like another like consecutive numbers. And then they started skipping around more like down to 50.
Yeah. I don't know. That's interesting. I'll have to watch this again. Cause I bought the book actually, cause I want to read that, too. And I'm wondering if they touch upon that, because I think in the book there's 100 kids. There's 100 boys.
Jeez.
But they decided to cut it down to 50 in this one, which understandable. It makes sense.
Yeah. And that's something that they do what, yearly?
Yeah. Yep. This is yearly.
That's crazy. I thought that they do it only when like they realize that people are starting to get lazy.
No, no, they, cause I guess like ever since they started it, like year by year, they keep seeing like improvement of the workforce and how motivated people are. So they're just like, let's keep doing it every year.
Crazy.
Right?
Absolutely crazy.
Seriously.
But yeah, like this story was really intriguing. I'll say that it is a very simplistic story, but I think that worked out in its favor.
Yeah.
I'm probably sitting at like an 83 with this one just in terms of story. The writing is going to have a significant bump.
Okay.
But the story, I think itself, it is above average, and I do liked how they did certain things. So I think 83 is a good spot.
I am, be honest, I am significantly higher than you.
I had a feeling.
Shit, where is...
I will say, when you, like, because I remember you saying that you thought that this was your new favorite of the year.
Yeah.
Or that this is your new favorite of the year.
It definitely is.
I do not quite share that sentiment.
That's fair. I get it. Shit, sorry.
Listen, don't get me wrong. It's a freaking an amazing movie.
Yeah.
I'm just not quite there.
No, dude, that's fair. story, I'm going to 92. Cause yeah, like I remember the trailers for some reason, cause I went and saw this with my buddy Ryan, and we were both intrigued by the trailer, but considering neither of us have like read the book, the way that the trailer showcased it, it kind of like showcased, like it felt more like a horror movie in a way than what we actually got, which I'm totally fine with. I loved what we got, but like, I feel like the trailer was a little misleading.
More a thriller than a horror.
It is. Oh, absolutely. And so just like I pointed out earlier with the whole Curly scene where he gets that Charlie horse. Ray Garrity tries to get him to keep walking, but he just can't, and then he gets his ticket. In the movie they call it "you get your ticket," which means like you get shot, like you're dead.
You get executed.
There we go. You get executed. And just the way that they shoot him, freaking like his like literally jaw just like freaking, it feels like just like it doesn't come off of his face, but just like the way that
it might as well have.
All right, no, fair enough. The way that he is shot is brutal, and then just bam, it says the long walk, and you continue. You're just like, good Lord. Okay. All right. So this is where the movie's going. And freaking, it had my attention from the first scene to especially from there all the way to the end. The story to me was very captivating. The characters, I love these characters, amazing characters in my opinion. I love the story. I was hooked from the very beginning to the very end.
Yeah, I'm with you. There was something I wanted to bring up about, I completely spaced it. All right, moving on over to writing. This is a very dialogue heavy movie.
It is. And you know, that can be good or bad for people. I personally love it. And I feel you needed to, I mean, we'll get to this with acting. You definitely needed to see a connection between all these characters, these boys. And clearly I feel that that showcased on screen, especially between, you know, Ray and Pete, how their friendship just keeps forming, throughout the walk. And one of the biggest parts that sticks out was, I forget what Ray says, but Pete says, "Don't thank me too much. I like you, but if you fall over, I won't pick you up." And then throughout the movie, you just see him going against exactly what he said. Literally, as they're at their first night when they're having to climb this hill, even though Ray's just like, he starts to get in his head, and Ray keeps getting in his own head, and Pete keeps checking up on him. He's just like, don't try to make me think that you don't want a bullet in my head like the rest of these guys do. And as Ray keeps traveling up the hill, and you can tell like he is on the brink of like being out of this, because he's on his final warning at that point. And all of a sudden you just see Pete come up from behind and be like, "How you doing? You doing okay? Like just keep focused. Keep staying ahead." Just constantly. It was honestly amazing. Awesome. Seeing Pete come to the aid of Ray. I loved it.
Yeah. Like they definitely grew. Like they did a really good job at like showing what those friendships would look like without getting into like dialogue that I think is too like over the top, like philosophical.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like this feels like very like a very working class conversation that people would have.
It did. I loved how freaking vulgar Hank was. Like he was definitely the most vulgar out of all of them, and I freaking loved it, because when Pete's just like, you know, let's be musketeers, referring to him, Ray, Art, and Hank. He's like, "How the fuck are we supposed to be musketeers? There's four of us." Some of the lines from Hank were just amazing. The freaking when he pulls out a piece of gum from his mouth and puts it back into his jacket, and Ray's just like, "Hank, that's gross." And he's just like, "What? It's fucking gum. It's not biodegradable. What, you want me to just fucking literal over the fucking place? Like, what the hell is wrong with you?"
I freaking love that shit, dude.
It's so funny. Like,
yeah, but their conversations were good. They were deep, but again, like, it was just, they were realistic. I think that's what sold me on it, is that they were like very realistic conversations that you would have in a situation like that. Like, you wouldn't be getting into like the ins and outs of just the philosophy of the long walk or whatever. Like, it just, you'd be talking about how much bullshit it is and be like basically telling everyone to F off. And
yeah,
like I loved like when Ray started like cussing out the major and just like, "Can you just shut up?" And the major's just like, "There's that warrior spirit." Like, see it from both sides. Like,
yeah, no, like, definitely. I get
from like his perspective, it's just like, "Oh yeah, like we got a fighter on our hands, guys." And from his, it's just like, "Shut the hell up!"
Oh,
like, God, all you do is run your mouth.
So I love that, you know, you had so many like good funny moments, but then freaking when it needed to be serious, it did. I mean, before we even get talk about like the character deaths that you had to go through, I think like one of the most prominent scenes was when they're talking about like what their wish would be. And Pete says, you know, like months ago or like leading up to this, I had a different one, but walking with you guys these past couple days, mine would be for there to be two winners so that people could see how a friendship that was formed on the long walk could actually form, and it could actually stay. And I love how Ray's just like, "You know what? That's fucking beautiful, Pete. And Pete's just like, you know, fuck off, man. He's just like, no, I'm dead serious. Like, I love that. That's beautiful.
Dude, like, I get it from both of their angles where he's like trying to give a genuine comment. He's just like, man, just like, forget you.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, their relationship was so good. And it just made it that much more heartbreaking when Ray stops.
Yeah. And he, you know, throughout the walk, Pete just is saying, you know, like what he sees in humanity and why he sees that now after what he went through as a kid. And just when Ray's just like, I don't see it, but I know you do. And that's why I love you, man. And you're just like, dude, freaking, I was bawling quite a few times during this movie. You know, when Hank goes, that is just so hard to watch when he starts to hallucinate and then he goes after one of the guns on the tanks and they shoot him and freaking Art runs back and he's just like, what the hell did you do that for? Why did you do that? And in doing so, Hank's like calling for Art and then he's saying, like, he's screaming as Ray is pulling Art away, I did it all wrong. So, you know, you know, Art and Hank's friendship wasn't as prominent as, you know, Pete and Ray's, but still, like, you did see, you know, especially in that scene, like how good of a bond that they had. And then freaking Art's, oh my God, Art's death was, yeah, that one was freaking hard. And the fact that he's just like, do me both a favor, don't watch him do it. And just,
dude, oh my gosh, I felt that in my soul, dude.
I did too.
That ripped me.
Dude, I would agree. Like, if I'm on that kind of walk in a friendship that I had formed that closely and they told me, don't watch them do it, don't watch them execute me, I'd be like, done. I will not look back at all. Yeah. I won't even hesitate.
Dude, I love how, like the freaking antagonists in this were like, are not really the antagonists, because I'd say that was more or less the major, but the guys who were just assholes on it, where that when it was down, what was it, down to like final four or five, and then he started like talking like, we should all agree not to help each other. And oh, yes, like, yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Like almost immediately, because that's when, like, isn't that when Art started struggling? Like right after he had.
I think so. What was interesting about that is when after Stebbins says that, Pete's just like, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And Ray's just like, nah, he's got a point, man. Like, you can't keep saving me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense. Like, after, like, I don't know. It tracks because, yeah, he was just the last one to be saved. So, I mean, like I said, it tracks. Like, it makes sense that that's something he would say.
True.
But it's I don't know, kind of like an asshole thing. Because, I mean, I don't think any of the others were on a warning.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So, it was weird. It was just, like, kind of like, dude, who the hell do you think you are? And then...
I do appreciate, though, like, Stebbins did get a nice moment towards the end when, like, he did... say, like, I'm glad it's you two and it's been an honor walking with you guys.
Yeah.
I did appreciate that he did have a moment that was actually genuine before he went out.
Yeah. I want to know what the hell was, I couldn't for the life of me think of what the hell he was trying to do, but the dude who just freaking stripped and then ran off of the path.
I think it's just, you know, when you've been walking that long with little sleep, you're going to start to
crazy.
Yeah, dude, you're going to hallucinate. You're going to lose your shit. So, like, I feel in a way, like, despite the main character's deaths that we see, I feel his death was like the hardest to watch. Just seeing someone just lose it like that. I mean, honestly, all of the deaths were hard to watch. Freaking poor. After what Barkovich says to him, Rank, like, freaking constantly trying to punch him, and then freaking he slips up, falls, scrapes his face, and ain't no way he was coming up after that, or it would have been a lot slower than he was able to. And because of that, freaking it turns, it gets
it messes with Barkovich the whole rest of the movie. And then at the end, when he's just like to Ray, like, oh, why didn't, you know, Pete ask me to help Hank's girl out? And then
it's like, because you freaking suck, dude.
Yeah. And the freaking when Pete's just like, you okay? And Barkovich just is like, what the fuck did you say, man? Like, I promise, man, I didn't mean to kill that kid. I'm sorry. Like, can't you just understand that? Like, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. And then, you know, like Ray is able to convince Pete to like actually let him in to like, I guess in a way, like let him into that friendship. And then freaking after that, he officially loses it. And he's just like, you know what? I'll always be with you guys, and kills himself with a spoon. Right.
Yeah. I had a hard time seeing what it was, but I just knew he freaking yoinked himself with something.
Yeah.
I was like, shit. All right.
There were moments like, you know, like in that and, you know, other moments when like the person's like excruciating in pain and they're still being like, first warning, second warning, third warning. You're just like, would you do, like, there ain't no way they're getting up. Just like put them out of their misery. But like, it makes sense. They're just like
I get it though.
Yeah. They do it to showcase the others. Like, you know, like, it doesn't matter what you go through, you're still going to get your ticket if you don't get up and keep walking.
Yeah. I mean, it's messed up. Sure. Like, yeah, just put them out of their misery, but also it's like, you got to give them a fair shot. Like, what if they do like get their shit together and get up?
Yeah. One, we know he was not getting up was the kid that got his legs run over by the tank.
Oh yeah.
Oh
my gosh. That God. Was brutal.
His and also
the people that like went after the soldiers.
Yeah. Like,
those deaths were crazy.
Yeah. So
like how the what's his face? Like went and grabbed a gun and then just gets shot. And then they just like leave him to bleed out.
Was that Hanks?
I think that was, it might've been Hanks.
Yeah.
And then the Indian guy that went up and successfully killed one of the soldiers who was not on their game.
Yes.
But how he did that. And then he got shot. And then his little, like the chant that he did before he like pulled it on himself.
Yeah. Like,
that was devastating.
Yeah.
But the dialogue, dude, was so freaking good here.
So good. Oh my God.
This is one I'm probably sitting at like 95. Like, it's a significant freaking bump.
Dude, I'm going to freaking match you on that one. Hell yeah. Cause so fucking good.
All right, moving on over to acting. We got Cooper Hoffman, who plays Raymond Garrity, who is number 47. He kind of looked familiar. I couldn't quite place him though.
I couldn't either. He's actually the son of Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Is he? I can see that.
Yeah, he does look like his dad. May his dad rest in peace.
Huh. I also kept like thinking that he was the what's his face? The guy who plays Bob in Thunderbolts.
Oh, shit. I know who you're talking about. But yeah, I could see it.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, we got Cooper Hoffman who played Raymond Garrity, who is number 47. We got David Johnson who plays Peter McVries, who is number 23. He looked familiar too. Like, there was a lot of these people that looked familiar as hell.
Yeah.
Then we got Tut Niyot, who plays Arthur Baker, number 6. Got Ben Wong, who plays Hank Olson, number 46. I recognized him because he's been pretty big lately.
Yeah, because he was in the new Karate Kid. And apparently, I didn't notice, he was in the new Mean Girls.
Was he?
Yeah. What's the character's name? The leader of like the mathletes that like does that whole rap at the Christmas program. So he's
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So Ben Wong, who is Hank Olson, number 46. Then we got Garrett Waring, who plays Abraham Stebbins, number 38.
So I thought that, I think it's actually Billy Stebbins. I could have sworn I saw somewhere it's Abraham Stebbins, but no, it's actually Billy Stebbins. So apologies about that.
Okay. So Billy Stebbins, number 38. Yep. Then we got Joshua Ogic, who plays Collie Parker, number 48. He was probably one of my favorite like side characters.
That's fair.
At least when you started getting into his character a bit more, like once people started like disappearing.
Yeah.
Then we got Charlie Plummer, who plays Gary Barkovich, number 45. Why do I know that name? What the hell? There's a lot of freaking Charlie Plummer. I swear I know that name. I don't know from where, but I know it. Or I don't. Guess not. All right. Never mind. It might just be the last name that I know then. Because I swear I know someone with the last name Plummer.
Hmm.
Couldn't tell you from where, though. Anyway, so yeah, Charlie Plummer, Gary Barkovich, number 5. We got Mark Hamill, who plays the Major, who is absolutely perfect.
Yeah,
for that role. So good. Judy Greer, who plays Mrs. Jenny Garrity. I did not think that was, like, I thought it was her at first, but then I was like, no, that doesn't quite look like her. And then, like, I kept switching back and forth. I'm like, yeah, no, that is. So, good. Yeah. Yeah. I was jumping back and forth. I'm like this woman looks, if it's not, she looks like surprisingly like Judy Greer. All right. Then we got Jordan Gonzalez, who played Richard Harkness, number 49. Roman Griffin Davis, who plays Thomas Curley, who is number 7. And that's it.
Bro, freaking Harkness's death, because when he twisted his ankle the first night going up the hill, and oh my god, his was I mean, all, like I said, all the deaths were hard to watch, but his was definitely hard to watch.
Yeah, when I saw his freaking foot, dude, I was like, oh, you're done, sir. No, like, I'm surprised you lasted this long.
there are a lot of boys, because like I'm be honest, there are like a couple times that I'm like looking at their like choice of footwear, and I'm just like, it's like with him too, I'm just like, I love Converse, I love those shoes, but I'm sorry, I am not gonna wear those type of shoes on a walk that I could walk up to 300 miles. There ain't no way that those are gonna be supportive enough to get you that far.
Yeah, dude. If I knew that I was signing up for something like that, I am buying new shoes and I'm breaking them in a couple weeks before.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm not wearing them down like enough for them to freaking fall apart like freaking Rays did.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'd be done. Like, if my shoes fell apart, I'm done.
Same.
Dude, but this answered like every question that I could possibly have about this movie, where when they're walking, I'm like, okay, so do they get like time for like to take a shit? Nope. No. Like, they got to do that shit on the move. I'm like, dude, at that point, I would freaking be like Winnie the Poohing it.
Like, I find it interesting though that Pete's the only one that they showcase that takes a leak.
He pees?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pete's the only one that pees in this movie.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
But then they showcase two people taking a shit. They showcase the one guy that, poor guy, has the runs, and that's because that's why he gets his ticket.
What a way to go. I'm like, can you at least listen before you like you freaking clock my ticket? Can I at least pull my pants up? Like, let me die with some dignity, not freaking dick in the dirt.
And then you got Art that has to take a shit and like barely gets up as he's getting his third warning.
The way that, if there's anything that would do me in, it'd be that. But
dude, that's fair.
100%. I would have, like, I would be so freaking prepared with shit like that. I straight up, I would have freaking like assless chaps or something. I'm like,
dude, I love,
like, you're not catching me on a bad day, dude. Like, the second I need to go, I'm freaking going to the back of the pack and I am freaking mooning those soldiers.
Forget Ray when he's just like, Art, come on, pinch it off, buddy. I'm just like, dude, you haven't had to take a shit with a gun pointed to your head yet, man. Like, that, I can't imagine how hard that is.
Yeah, dude, I freaking love that he like called that out. He's just like, I'm freaking trying, dude.
Freaking like, Pete's just like telling me, he's just like, man, we love you, but like, can you walk ahead for a little bit? Like, I get you didn't get to wipe, you couldn't wipe, but we shouldn't have to suffer for how bad you smell right now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the preparation that I would have would be otherworldly. If I had to do something like this, it would be next level freaking prep. Like, I would, my the level of preparation, like physically, I not like, I would have to be like, I don't know, dude. I'm trying to think of what it is that would do me in. It would be trying to take a shit on the go like that. So it's like, all right, well, I'm gonna freaking prep for no bathroom break. So I'm getting specialized pants that I can like rip the ass off of and like rebutton at a moment's notice. Like, so I could do that like mid stride. Like, it'd be embarrassing as hell, but I'm like, freaking gotta do whatever, what you gotta do.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever it takes.
Yeah. Like, it'd be something like that. I would be prepared for any weather conditions. I would, the only thing that would probably get me is sleep. Honestly, like if that would probably be the thing that do me in, where if I just couldn't walk and sleep at the same time.
Yeah. Forget that scene when Ray catches himself and he's like, man, dude, it was so weird. Like, I was dreaming as I was walking, and Peace is like, yeah, man, like, that's good. Like, you know, I talk about that. He's like, yeah, I was dreaming about my mom. He's like, oh, okay, cool. What's her name? Mom. He's like, fuck off. Like,
ugh. Yeah. So who's in your who's your top three?
So
I have a
number
feeling ours is gonna be the same.
Number three, I gotta give to number three, sorry. No, number one, I gotta give to David Johnson.
Same.
Cause wow, like, just an incredible performance. Like, truly.
Dude, I gotta say, after seeing him in this, if they ever wanted to recast Black Panther,
oh, he's my dude, same here. 100%. He would kill that role.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fucking just incredible performance. Seeing his bond, not only with Ray, but the rest of these boys, was just amazing watching throughout this movie. And like that final moment when, you know, he first stops and sits down, but then Ray's just like, no, just keep walking with me. He's like, all right, man, you are one convincing motherfucker. And then Ray's the one that stops, and just the freaking pain, the break on his face when he sees the Major do that final headshot to Ray is freaking heartbreaking. And the final scene where, you know, after he kills the Major and you just see him walking away, a lot of people, they think, from what I've read, is that it's kind of like a dream sequence in a way, because they believe that right after he shot the Major, he was immediately killed by the other.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
I was like, he was executed and it's just, he's continuing his walk.
Yep. Yeah. That's Pete in the, I guess, the afterlife. He just keeps walking like he has been his whole entire life. But yeah, David, 100%, number one, just incredible performance.
Yep.
Number two, I would give to, yeah, Cooper Hoffman, another great performance. Just David's just a little bit above him. But he was fantastic as well. Again, seeing not only his, bond with, Pete, but his bond with the others was just
fantastic. And freaking the scene where he like goes and breaks off to his mom and is just like apologizing and like, just like, oh, can I get a hug? Can I get a hug? You're just like, oh man, like freaking hard to watch.
Dude, the way I was sitting there, like, bro, you are going to get executed in front of your mother.
Yeah.
Like one dick move.
True.
Yeah. But her freaking Judy Greer's performance, like her freak out. Amazing. Yeah. I'm like, that is exactly how you freaking react to something like that.
Like, no, seriously.
Oh my gosh. Crazy.
Yeah. Just, yeah, he was amazing. Number three, it's a coin flip, but I think just because I just loved his dialogue so much and his, both of these deaths were just fucking hard to watch, truly. But number three, I would actually give to, Ben Wong.
Same here.
Hell yeah. yeah.
With a close number four being Mark Hamill.
No, actually Mark Hamill would be five for me. Four would be, Tut Nui, who played Art. He would be number four, because his performance was like just as good as Ben's, but like I think Ben's just maybe just a little bit above it. Like honestly, it's a coin flip for me, but Mark Hamill would be number five.
Totally fair.
Freaking Ben, he was again incredible in this movie. And freaking just going from him and the Karate Kid, where he was great as well. I really enjoyed that new Karate Kid, and he was the biggest reason why. Him going from, you know, like just, you know, like a calm kid to freaking him, where every other word out of his mouth here is fuck. Just night and day characters. And I loved it so much because he did both these roles justice. And just, yeah, he was amazing in this movie. And like I said, his death, so hard to watch, just him shouting I did it all wrong multiple times, and then you find out that he was the only one that was married because he got shit for that before at the drop off before Ray and Pete came into the picture. So yeah, just phenomenal.
Yeah, friggin' so good. Oh man, it's hard to know like where I sit with the acting score, because I mean everyone did a really good job. I was definitely impressed with some more than others.
That's fair.
Like I think this is so close to cracking 90s, but I am sitting at an 89. There was some people I couldn't tell you their names for the life of me that I had some issues with.
Yeah.
Like the dude who was like freaking crazy, like picking fights and everything. Like he was just a little
Barkovich.
Yeah. He was, I don't know, like tad over the top for me.
No, that's fair. That's completely fair. For me, acting, I'm at a 94. Everyone was great in my opinion. Solid performances throughout. Yeah. So 94.
All right. Next up, we got character development, which I'll be real, I don't know if there was a ton.
That is fair. I think it's really not character development. It's more, like friendship creation, I guess, bond forming, something like that. Like, and honestly, it is a beautiful thing watching a friendship grow, especially in this capacity, like starting this journey as complete strangers. And then as the days go on and just watching these boys, especially Pete and Ray, watching their bond continue to get closer and closer, and freaking that scene at the end where one unfortunately has to go made it even harder to watch. So yeah, I agree with you. Not a lot of character development, but definitely a lot of relationship development, I guess.
Yeah, here's my issue with kind of everything that happened. Like I loved everything, like the bonds that were formed and everything, but I think it's once it got to the end and it was very ambiguous about what happened with Pete after they had gone through what they'd gone through, and him basically everyone agreeing that they what was going to happen with the money, that's families were going to be taken care of. And it's just, if it ended the way that I think it did, where he immediately got executed for shooting the major, like, it just kind of felt like, okay, so you were only really did something for Ray.
I think
of trying to spread the money across to like other families. And
I and think stuff. What so, that
is interesting.
No, that's fair. I think what, this is just how I took it. Pete had no intention of winning. I feel like, especially for how close he got with Ray, like if it came down to him and Ray, he was going to make sure that Ray won. He was not going to win. And so because of that, like, he felt that he didn't need to worry about making sure that Hank's wife was going to be okay. He knew that when Ray did win, when it was down to those two, that Ray would make sure that she was taken care of and that Ray would be able to take care of his mom and, you know, all that stuff. And so the fact, when it came down to the fact that Ray is the one that actually gets executed, not him, I don't think his mind was thinking right. It was in that moment that he's just like, you just killed my closest friend that I made on this walk, and I'm going to carry out what his wish would have been. I don't think he was thinking about anything other than that at that moment.
That's fair. That's definitely a fair point of view. Like, if he had already kind of resigned to the fact that he was going to lose, it would be more just like, oh, you guys just killed the winner of this contest.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh shit, well, he needs to get his wish.
Because there's, like, straight up, like, towards the beginning, like, well, maybe not towards the beginning, but Pete says, you know, like, it's taken me a couple of days to realize, but this is truly walk or die. But I feel that when it comes to the point that I just get too tired for this, I'm just going to sit down. And Ray's just like, I really hope that's not the case, Pete. And so, like, that, I feel, especially just showcases, like, yeah, Pete had no intention of winning. He was going to walk for as long as he could and as long as Ray was going to walk for. But definitely he had no intention of claiming that prize.
Yeah, it definitely felt like that. Like, it just felt like Pete was at that point where it's like, I think he could have kept going. It's just more, he had already resigned to the fact that he wasn't going to, and so that's why he's like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah. And for,
like, and then freaking Ray pulled that double play, like a freaking,
yeah.
Oh my god. I knew that's exactly what he was gonna do.
Yeah.
Like, the way oh my gosh. Like,
cause, like, yeah, the whole
way that shows, like, some, like, the mindset that you're in when you're that exhausted. Cause I would have had my hand on him at all freaking times. I'm like, you're not freaking playing me like this, dude.
Like, no, dude, that's fair. Cause, like, yeah, like when they're, like when, Ray, as they're the final two and they're walking into the city, he's just like, you know, I used to be afraid of death. Like, that's like the one thing that, like, someone can, expect in life, that, you know, you live and then you die. But walking with you guys these past couple of days is, like, made me realize that I'm not scared of it anymore. And so as they enter the city and you see Pete just look at Ray for like a couple of seconds and realize, okay, now is the time that he's going to win, that I'm just going to sit this one out. And, you know, Ray takes a knee, and he's just like, you're going to win this for your mom. You're going to, you know, do good for her. You're going to live a better life. And Ray being like, no, man, get the hell up. Like, let's just walk for a little longer. And like I said earlier, I love how Pete's just like, you know, you are one convincing motherfucker. And then freaking, yeah, Ray just stops. And that was his third warning. And freaking get shot. And so, yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm at an 81 with when it comes to character development. It was definitely like pretty well above average in terms of like of that growth. I think it's just the ambiguous ending that kind of ruined it for me. Because it just felt like there was a lot of things that were discussed and talked about in the beginning that were negated.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I had some trouble.
That's fair. I'm definitely not in the 90s with this. I definitely agree with what you said. But I think I'm just going to be just a couple points higher than you at an 80. I'm going to go an 85.
All right. Moving on over to effects. There wasn't much in terms of like stunt work, I would say. There was a lot of special effects in terms of like the gore that happened.
Yes.
That was the big thing.
I feel that looked pretty damn good, especially like when they had to showcase the boys being shot up close, especially freaking Curly's death. Like, oh my god.
Gosh.
But the prosthetics on that looked very, very good.
Yeah. I'm sitting at like an 85. Like I don't know. There's not too much. I don't feel like there's too much to discuss there. It looked really good. But it had that like that rubbery effect too at times where I was like it not quite selling it, but
no, that's fair.
Just a hint of it that I just slightly noticeable. Like I noticed that like quite a bit when it comes to people like that get their faces like blown apart. Like,
yeah.
It's just okay. Then they go pretty heavy on like, like I prefer when they do if they're able to do that with prosthetics or with a like if they were to do that with like a dummy head, because then it would feel like it had a bit more I don't know, like realism to it.
Yeah,
because sometimes it felt like they were just kind of going overboard with the gore just for the necessity of that scene, and I'm like, not the biggest fan of that, but I mean still it looked incredible.
Yeah,
and it was definitely hard to watch. It's just like, yeah, just I think they just needed a tweak on the realism.
That's fair. That's completely fair. Yeah, I'm not in the 90s with this. I'm close. I'm in giving it an 88. I feel what Caleb said, very good points. I definitely agree. Because yeah, there were some instances that yeah, it definitely did look a little rubbery. But I feel for the most part, like for how gruesome they had to show these deaths, I feel that the effects were pretty damn good, for, especially for how low of a budget this movie was.
Cause absolutely.
Cause the budget was 20 million.
So not bad at all. Yeah. Definitely not bad at all. All right. Next up, we got music.
This I'm personally pretty high with this one. The track alone that always sticks out is Olsen's theme that they play when he's starts to go crazy and he gets executed. My Darling Clementine song. And then I don't know if you watch the credits, but the song that they play, I think it's just called Took a Walk. That freaking song has been on repeat for me because the line was like the line, so let's stay out here for a while, my friend. Let's just keep walking. Like freaking such a great song. I freaking love that song. So personally for me, for the music, I'm at an 8.
An 8?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I was maybe like at a 7.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah, I wasn't quite up there. Like, I think I was definitely walking that line a bit. Like, yeah. I was actually leaning a little bit closer to like a 6, though. But yeah, like bringing up some of the songs, I forget like that they sing themselves like a few songs, like the Darling Clementine one. And I have heard that song that was made for the credits.
Yeah,
like, it showed up on my Spotify and.
Oh hell yeah!
I really like that one too.
So good.
So yeah, I think I'm good. Going up to a 7 with that.
Hell yeah!
All right, next up we got costumes.
I mean, nothing really special about this, you know, just like you're wearing clothes that you're going to feel comfortable walking however long you need to. I did find it funny that it looked like, you know, like most of them, you know, like brought a jacket with them, which, yeah, that makes sense. But like, at least with like Ray and Pete, neither of them brought a jacket that had a hoodie.
Dude, for real.
Like, there's a chance it's going to rain. It's going to get cold.
Yeah.
Why would like, you not want a jacket with a hood?
I know. I'm like, you guys didn't prepare for shit.
Like, for Hank and Art both had jackets with hoods.
Yeah.
But freaking for some reason, Pete and Ray did not. So I'm like, okay.
The way I would have like all weather gear, dude.
No, dude, like seriously, freaking like, yeah, dude, I'm packing gloves. Like, yeah, I'm freaking set for this shit.
Yeah, like I'm gonna be that freaking bastard that has a freaking solar charger on my on my back, or like on my hood at least. Like I'm not care. The guys who carried backpacks, freaking dumb. I'm like, no, I'm going to look like one of those jackasses at a 5K with a freaking fanny pack and a windbreaker.
So you wouldn't have like an actual backpack? Would you have like one of like, so a fanny
I'd
pack
have one
like
of
a
those,
shoulder
like,
bag?
Yeah, so I'd have a fanny pack that went around my, like, okay. That I could go put around my chest. I would fling it to my back. So okay. I would like, so it'd just be like the strap, and then I'd have like, but then I'd be able to like quick pull. So like pull it across my chest, get whatever I needed, and then fling it back.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'd have one of those, and then I'd have a straight up just normal ass fanny pack that would have like rations and like snacks and shit. Cause
imagine if they're just like, oh, you can only bring one bag. Like if they're like limitations, I'd be like, F you.
Yeah. It's like,
that's bullshit.
Yeah, it's extra weight for me, asshole. Let me do what I want.
How is this affecting your asses?
Yeah, like, I'm not bringing a full-on freaking pack. Like, no, I am traveling with the lightest amount of shit imaginable. This is what my whole outfit would look like. It'd be a freaking derpy-ass windbreaker with a, like track suit, very comfortable shoes that I had recently purchased. The double fanny packs, like the one across like the back and chest, and then one across like around my waist. And then I'd freaking have like basically breakaway pants that I could rip off to take a shit. And then I would take the penalty of a warning. It's like, so I could rip them off when I needed to shit, because I'd freaking be Winnie the Pooh in it. And I would be walking, and then like I'd walk in, like literally I'd try to do it like a dog walking shit at the same time. And then once I'm done, I'm freaking got some baby wipes in my fanny pack. I'm going to wipe my ass while I walk, and then I'm going to button my pants back up, and I'm going to take a penalty to put my pants back on. Like, as, 'cause it's what, 10 seconds.
Yeah,
like per warning. So yeah, I'm taking those 10 seconds to put my pants back on, and then I will continue walking with the group.
My question is, what are you doing with the baby wipes?
Just throw them on the street. I don't give a shit.
That is littering, man. What the fuck?
I don't give a flying shit, dude.
That shit ain't biodegradable.
Yeah, listen, a soldier's lucky if he doesn't catch it in the freaking crosswind, because I'm throwing that shit as high as I can go. If they're gonna catch full grown man. Like, man shit, like a shit wipe, like, yeah, no, I'm not playing that game. I don't give a shit about littering.
Oh shit. Oh man.
Yeah, if I'm that worried about it, I'll come pick it up on my way home after winning the prize. Oh my gosh, you kidding me? Littering, get out of here with that bullshit.
Oh man,
the preparation that I would have like would be just next level, dude. It'd be next freaking level.
I'd
freaking have a radio hooked up to like again with solar panels. Like, I'd have like my jacket would be made of freaking solar panels and shit, like at least on the shoulders and like up the hood or whatever. Like, I'd be freaking rocking.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't think I would need to prepare that much, because if I got accepted into this, one, I would have to lie because I have an if I decided to go for this, I would have to lie because I have a medical issue. I have asthma and I wouldn't be able to bring my inhaler. So I don't think I would make it. I'd make it maybe like a decent amount, but not by much. And then, yeah, I'd get my ticket. I'd be fucked. I'd literally just be on the floor gasping for breath.
Oh my gosh. It's like you start hyperventilating like on the, in the line, like ready to start, they fire off the gun and then it's just like, are you kidding me? Like, we just started.
Like what the major says, like the first death is always the most impactful. Like it means a lot. We celebrate it. I don't know if the major would be celebrating mine. He'd be like, motherfucker didn't even make it a mile in.
Actually, guys, we're going to celebrate the next one.
Oh, man.
Like, this guy would have had better luck just shooting himself at home.
Oh, shit.
That'd be a funny freaking scene.
Oh, that'd be amazing. I do like with one change with the costumes. From what I understand, the book, the numbers are kind of like what runners have. They're just like, you know, like paper. Like,
okay.
It just says your number. I like that in this one, it's like dog tags that say the number that they are. I like that too.
That's honestly the only thing that bumped me up from a 5 to a 6, because that's I'm at a 6 right now, because like they're really nothing special.
No, I'm at a 7, but I would agree, like, yeah, it's nothing special.
All right, last up, we got personal score.
All right, who do you want to take this, because I feel we're probably gonna be pretty different on this.
Well, you're leading this one.
So,
but you did like this movie probably more than I did.
Yeah. I kind of want to see what, can you go second? I want to see what your okay, is compared sure to mine. Okay. All right. So, if it isn't clear enough yet, I fucking loved this movie. favorite movie of the year so far. It probably will stick with that. Because I've seen this movie 3 times in theaters.
3 times? Holy shit.
Yeah. I love this movie that much. And yeah, just each time it got better and better. The characters, the story. I didn't expect this movie to be as impactful to me as it was, but by hell or by golly, whatever, it has been, because I bought the book. I'm excited to read that and see what the differences are.
I like that you've been hitting us with like mother effer and the F word like all episode, and then you hit us with a by golly.
Fuck off.
just thought I'd point it out. Damn. No,
you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But yeah, so yeah, like I said, great story, great characters. Very impactful. Yeah, don't have a lot of negative things to say about this. So I'm going to give this movie the first of this score that I've ever given a movie on, or given a movie on this podcast. Personal score, I'm going a, son of a bitch, I'm going a 98.
Holy shit.
Yep.
I'm starting to think I should have gone first.
No, spoiler alert. I wanted to see how much lower you were.
Decently lower. Like, okay, listen, I did really enjoy this movie. It was really good. I did enjoy a lot of like the dialogue in this. I thought a lot of it was very heavy and deep. So I loved it. I don't think it quite clicked with me as much as it did you, obviously.
Hey, that's totally okay.
Yeah, I might rewatch this again, like once it comes out on digital.
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna be honest. I'm probably buying this when it comes out on digital. So, yeah, if you want to watch this thing again on Tuesday, go for it, buddy.
I very well might. So. Yeah, like I'll probably redo that, because like you've just been like, okay, like did I miss something? But
no, dude, like I mean, you gotta remember, like sometimes we are like this. Like
you've been
like super high on movies. I've been like a little bit lower. So like, dude.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. This is like a decent enough distance where I'm like, okay, maybe I need to like just check this out one more time. But I'm personally sitting at like an 86. I didn't quite crack. Okay. The 90s. This is one that I do think has some rewatchability to it, mainly because it is very dialogue heavy. But yeah, this is, I'm going to re-explore this because you've made me super unsure.
No, dude, like you got to remember, like, cause I was thinking about this, like, cause like I've like stuck with that 98 since I walked out of my third showing. Like it just, it did go up. Cause I think like originally I was at like a 96, but it did go up a little, it did go up. But like, you know, I was looking at like other scores for movies from us. And like, I want to say like with Deadpool and Wolverine, like you were at a 98, I was at a 96. So like definitely like you've been higher than me, at movies, at different other movies. I'm pretty sure this is the first 98 I've ever given a movie when it comes to my personal score.
I mean, that'd be an easy way to check.
Yeah, if you could, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, let's see just for shits and giggles. All right, so we'll sort this by rows. You also gave Air a 98.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit, okay. I thinking back, no. it's kind of
honestly, that's probably my favorite.
It's the same thing with me with Wonka. Like I gave that shit a 97 for a personal score, and like think back, dude, damn.
I watched Wonka again today.
Yeah,
because Iris wanted to watch it, and she's off of school this week, so nice. We watched it today. That movie freaking slaps.
It does. No, I agree. Like I'm definitely still in the 90s with that movie, but I don't think I'm still at a 97. With The Long Walk, I don't see myself coming down from that 98 for how impactful this movie was to me.
Oh my gosh. Wait for the frickin' follow up to this episode. Be like, all right, where are you sitting with Long Walk, guy?
Oh shit.
I am actually like curious because I think you had a score higher than 98.
Really? I don't remember giving any movie a 99, let alone 100. I don't think I've ever given a movie a 100 for a personal score.
Yeah, you never. I haven't seen 100, but you did give a movie a 99.
What was it?
Oh, Our Friend.
I can't be mad at myself for that because for how like impactful that movie is, not only to me, but I know it is to you.
You damn near gave that movie a perfect score, dude.
Well, because freaking like, dude, I remember you telling me like how the story of that movie and like how like, dude, it literally, if anything happened to Brielle, this is literally how it would play out for our story. And like watching it, and I'm just like, fuck, man, you're absolutely right. Fuck.
I know. I probably shouldn't have led into the movie with that. Dude, because if that would have been the case, you would have given that movie on your own an A.
Shit.
I don't think it was that high on our final.
Oh,
that's
man.
Freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, going through these categories real quick, starting off with story. We're starting off with an 87.5.
All right.
Writing is a pretty significant bump, also our highest category, sitting at a 95. The acting is took a little bit of a docked a little bit, but it's sitting at a 91.5. Character development is sitting at an 83. The effects are sitting at an 86.5. Music is sitting at a 7 out of 10. Costumes are sitting at a 6 out of 10. And then our personal score averaged out to a 92. So with that, the final All Bros letter grade for The Long Walk has come out to a B+.
I'll take it. Hell yeah.
Love it. All right. Let's see where this ended up or where this is at. Damn. It's okay. So our cutoff for B+ is 86%. This is sitting at an 86.3%.
Ooh, okay. So barely made it, but hey, it made it.
Yeah. I mean, it has a pretty good cushion between like other movies.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely on the lower end of our B+ movies.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So let's see. So Long Walk, do you want to hear what it's above or what it's below first?
Let's hear below.
All right. So The Long Walk at 86.31% is sitting below A Quiet Place Day One.
Oh, damn.
It is below, spoiler alert.
I'm trying to remember what spoiler alert was.
That's the one with Sheldon.
Oh, that was a really good movie.
Yeah. Let's see. It's below Evil Dead Rise.
Really?
You're going to hate this. It is below Black Adam.
Oh, fuck you. Or I guess fuck us.
Dude, you know what this probably came down to?
What?
Costumes.
Oh, yeah.
Superhero movies get a really unfair, like, not unfair, because this is our system. It's as fair as they could possibly get, but they do get a pretty significant boost because of costumes.
Nah, that's fair.
Like, the costumes make or break a freaking movie sometimes when it comes to, like, superhero films.
No, that's true.
You might hate this too. It's below the Lego Movie 2.
Son of a bitch.
And then it is below the newest Haunted Mansion.
Dude, what the hell's wrong with us?
I have no idea, dude.
I'm just kidding. Oh, shit.
All right, go in the opposite direction. I'm pretty sure you're not going to have an issue with any of these.
Okay.
It is above Captain Marvel.
Yeah, okay, good.
It is above Sing 2.
All right, yeah.
It's above Spider-Man Homecoming.
Fair.
It is above the OG Nightmare on Elm Street.
Fair.
And then it is above Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
That, yeah, fair.
I wonder how high on the list I could go before you start, like, agreeing.
Oh, for what it's below?
Yeah, for what it's below. So I'll just go and just real quick, yes or no, if you think it's our above, or just say above or below. Okay. So we already did all those. Scream 2022.
Above.
Frozen 2.
Above.
In the Heights.
Above.
Nightmare Alley.
Above.
Poor Things.
Above.
The Iron Claw.
Above.
Goddamn, nobody.
Above.
Halloween 1978.
Above.
Psycho.
Above.
Moana 2.
Above.
The Willoughbys. That one's above. Easy. Never mind.
Yeah.
Elemental. I know how you feel about the Willoughbys.
Above.
Detective Pikachu.
Above.
Freaky.
Above.
The Black Phone.
Above.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Above. Dude, I forgot that we did the Black Phone.
I did too. Parasite.
Above.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves.
Above.
Rey and the Last Dragon.
Above.
Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Above.
Oppenheimer.
Above.
Air.
Above.
The Prom.
Above.
The Invisible Man.
Above.
Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Above.
Glass Onion.
Above.
How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Above.
Bros.
Above.
God damn. Mean Girls.
Above.
Halloween 2018.
Above.
Top Gun Maverick.
Above.
Luca.
Above.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Above.
Saw X.
Above.
God damn. Matilda the Musical.
Above.
Mitchell's vs. the Machines.
Above.
Deadpool 2.
Above.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Above.
Knives Out.
Above.
Black Panther.
Above.
Far From Home.
Above.
Nimona.
Above.
Ready or Not.
Above.
Lightyear.
Above.
Matrix Revolutions.
Above.
Black Widow.
Above.
Better Watch Out.
Above.
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Above.
Marriage Story.
Above.
Aliens.
Above.
Elf.
Above.
Frozen Empire.
Above.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Above.
I'm going to skip a few. 1917.
Above.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Above.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Above.
Turning Red.
Above.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Fuck. All right, I might put it a little below that one.
God damn, dude. You want to take a guess where you're at? You're at the low end of A-.
Let's go.
You're 91% is what that is. So we have to... Holy ball sack. I don't even know the difference. Let's see. How many movies away is that? That's not accurate. 83 movies.
Holy shit.
Before you get to a point where you feel like that's... like it's... That's crazy.
Oh, that's awesome.
I freaking love that.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. But anyway, that's where it's sitting.
That was great. All right, well, unless you got anything else you want to say about The Long Walk.
Nope. Just glad I was on this episode. Freaking bring this movie back down to earth.
I'm not saying it's freaking a godsend.
That freaking 98 disagrees with you.
Hey, I gave Air and our friend a 99. I don't know why I gave Air a 99.
Our friend gave Air a 98.
A 98, my bad. Yeah, I definitely should have gone lower. Well, I'm just saying, clearly
you got,
I've given...
You got freaking hypnotized by Viola Davis's performance.
You know what? You're right. Actually, I'm going to be honest. One thing that hypnotized me with that movie was Matt Damon was looking pretty good in that movie. For some reason, like I thought Matt Damon looked really hot in that movie.
Did you really?
Yeah, like dead serious.
I wouldn't even put that in his top 10 best looking roles.
For some reason he was doing it for me in that movie.
All right.
Yeah. Oh man. But yeah, anyway, if you liked what you heard in this episode and want to hear more, be sure to follow and subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are damn near everywhere. Be sure to check out us on social media. We're on Facebook, X, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, just search at the All Bros, or the All Bros. But if you're on YouTube, well, I guess no, at the All Bros on YouTube, especially you have to search at the All Bros. Because if you just bring up the All Bros, it ain't going to be our channel.
Yeah. Which is freaking lame.
Yeah.
But links to everything are in the description if you need help.
Yep. What he said. If you want to check out our website, you can do so tinyurl.com/user/theallbroschannel. If you want to email us, theallbroschannel@gmail.com, or if you want to check out our website, tpublic.com/user/theallbros. Next week on the podcast, did we decide?
We have not decided what we were doing.
Okay. Well, so then it's going to be a fun guessing game, not only for you guys, but for us.
Yeah. I can't let me see if there's anything.
I'm trying to think, like, not only theaters, but, like, streaming.
No, I haven't even seen anything in streaming for a hot minute.
I mean, the Black Phone 2 is coming out, but I don't know if you want to see that in theaters or if you want to wait for streaming with that one. That I'm only saying because I know how you can be sometimes with scary movies, so I don't know if you really want to go see
that on the big screen. Yeah, I'm a bit of a bitch. gosh, I'm trying to think of one. Like, if there's anything... I can't think of shit.
Yeah. We'll figure something out.
Yeah. There has to be something. Like we'll find.
Yeah.
We'll find something to watch.
Yeah. So like I said, be a fun surprise what we do next week. but until then, this has been the All Pros Podcast. I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we will catch you guys then. See ya.